Grace and peace are yours in abundance, in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us this morning comes from today's Old Testament lesson for the first Sunday in Advent from the prophet Isaiah, which we will hear again in just a moment. It's a simple idea, one that you have probably heard many times before. When it comes to starting something new, begin with the end in mind. There's something stimulating about that, I think. Begin with the end in mind. In other words, what is your hopeful outcome for the task at hand? What is your preferred future for your project? As soon as you can envision it, you can start taking the first steps toward making it happen. A few examples. I know of a young man who, upon becoming a father, envisioned himself in much better physical shape for the sake of his family. With the end of better health in mind, he texted a friend who was a personal trainer and asked for help. And over the course of a decade, he lost almost 100 pounds. He began with the end in mind. Or just think of St. Mark Lutheran Church. A little over 60 years ago, a small group of people envisioned a Lutheran church in Chesterland. With the end of a vibrant church in mind, they made sacrifices, raised funds, reached into this community, and here we still are today, because they began with the end in mind. When people have a compelling vision of the future, something that captivates them, they will take action today. So it is that we are beginning a new church year with the end in mind. We launch into Advent with a compelling vision provided by the prophet Isaiah, and here is the vision that he casts. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." As far as compelling visions go, that's pretty good, don't you think? I mean, for a vision that's around 2,600 years old, it speaks to some pretty deep universal desires in a beautiful way. It features people from all nations gathering at God's temple to be taught by Him, a melting pot of believers streaming up the mountain to meet Him. It features the Word of God moving outward, being broadcast, inviting others to turn and to come to what's happening up on the mountaintop. And it features the end of war. A vivid image of a sword being turned into a plow. Not just a ceasefire, but violence and oppression as a thing of the past. What a vision. And more than just a preferred future, it is the end that God has in mind. So we're here at the beginning, not only the beginning of Advent, not only the beginning of another journey to Christmas, but also the beginning of the rest of your life. What does Isaiah's vision say to you? Maybe we ought to consider what it meant to Isaiah. The world in which Isaiah lived was chaotic, unjust, and war-torn. Israel was a storm-tossed nation, threatened by powerful Assyrians to the north and east, menaced by Egyptians to the south and west. And the king and his advisors were occupied, you might say obsessed with what they needed to do to protect themselves. Events were getting out of their control. Fear was running rampant, and with fear came despair. The neediest of the needy, the orphans, the widows were neglected, and what's worse, people just didn't seem to care or had grown numb from bad news piling on top of bad news. Does any of this sound familiar? Yes, I'm talking about Israel around 600 BC, but I might as well be describing life near the end of 2022. And in either case, right in the middle of all that turmoil, to a world racked by war and violence, to a culture of greed and grasping, one single voice dares to call out with a word of hope. One voice describes a future that is sure to come because it's a future that depends on God's intervention. Now here's the question. Was Isaiah just being a foolhardy idealist, impractical, otherworldly? Or is it possible that he was the only realist of his age? That his vision, by God's design, penetrated more deeply into reality? Now here's what we know. Into his world of death and destruction, Isaiah was sent with nothing but words. But these were no ordinary words. They were words that described a view from God's perspective. And these words cry out an invitation to you. Right now, do you long for the close, real presence of God? Do you eagerly desire real racial harmony, especially within the body of believers? Would you like to know a world in which bombs never fall, missiles never strike, soldiers are no longer scarred? God says that day is coming. It's rolling towards you. Nothing can stop it. That is a compelling vision. That's the end you can have in mind as you begin this day. And that is great hopeful news, but there is more. Isaiah's vision is already happening. It's already coming true. It's breaking in, even now. Do you see it? 600 years after Isaiah spoke these words into the storm of his society, a person was brought to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem as a baby. The old man who held this baby in his arms took one look at him and said, "My eyes have seen the salvation that the Lord prepared in the sight of his people. A light for the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel." When this baby grew, as a 12-year-old, he said that being in the Word in that temple was being about his Father's business. And when that 12-year-old grew into a man, he told people, "Destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days." Which both predicted his own death and resurrection, which was amazing enough. And it was a claim that he was replacing the temple. If you were looking for God, you were not to find him in a building, but in a person, in Jesus. And then, on another mountaintop, just outside of Jerusalem, this Jesus was crucified. The ultimate, once for all sacrifice, the Lamb of God taking away the sins of the world. At the moment when Jesus paid the full cost for our sin, the great temple curtain was torn from top to bottom. The way to God torn open. Now anyone who is sick of sin and death has access to God's mercy, forgiveness, and life. And after Jesus resurrected, he instructed his closest followers to make disciples through baptism and teaching. He told them to preach a message of repentance leading to the forgiveness of sins, which he had purchased with his death. And with the Holy Spirit's special blessing at Pentecost, this message went out. It went viral in the ancient world and has continued to spread for the past 2,000 years, bringing countless people from every culture into the light of the Lord. And that light is shining in through the cracks of our dying world. It's like Isaiah's vision will not wait patiently. It's happening. God is present with his people now, wherever they receive Jesus and his gifts. You don't have to be in Jerusalem to get them. You just need his word, his sacraments. Jesus is teaching his ways now through his word and spirit and through faithful servants of the Lord. The words of Jesus still, to this day, are creating a people who earnestly desire to walk in his paths. The law and the gospel, the bad news of our sin, the good news of our Savior continues to go out, to move out, to be broadcast, shared in every imaginable form. Every attempt to silence the Son of God ends the same way. Human beings can't stop what God has planned. And no, Isaiah's vision is not yet completely fulfilled. The wars, the violence continue their dance of death. But look with the eyes of faith and see what's really happening. Begin with the end in mind and see Jesus already working, already redeeming, already repairing. Let's go with Him. Let us go up the mountain of the Lord. Please pray with me. O morning star, O radiant sun, when will our hearts behold your dawn? O sun, arise, without your light we grope in gloom and dark of night. Sin's dreadful doom upon us lies. Grim death looms fierce before our eyes. O come, lead us with mighty hand from exile to our promised land. Amen.